Matthew chapter number 18, beginning at verse number 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? By the way, that's the title of the message tonight, The Greatest in the Kingdom of Heaven. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, as we just preach our way down through this story, what happened here in the Gospels, this encounter with Jesus and a question and a little child. I pray that you'll properly prepare our hearts, not only for the Vacation Bible School that will start a week from tomorrow, but also, Lord, for all of the week-by-week labor and week-by-week efforts that comes into, that's put into reaching the next generation here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In Philippians 2:15, God presents to each of us a challenge. This is that high challenge. This is what the verse says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How about that? We're talking about the victorious Christian life, the mindset of the victorious Christian life. Can I summarize all of it together? How about this? Having the mind of Jesus Christ will let you live on the victory side. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What we are instructed to do is to learn how Jesus thinks and then change our thinking to match his. We are to so study, so learn, so examine, so mimic the thinking pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ that soon we operate on his philosophies. We soon view life from his perspective, and we eventually assess our priorities based on what he thinks is most important. What a wonderful place to get your Christian life when somebody asks you what you think about something, and your thought is not what do I think about it, but what would Jesus think about it. That's a wonderful place to get to in your Christian life. One of the most interesting studies we can conduct is to focus on the parts of the Bible that deals with Christ's mindset towards children. In Matthew chapter 18, we can see very specifically how Christ viewed, this is his word, the lambs of his flock. We see Christ trying to teach his disciples to view children properly. Tonight I want to examine this portion of Scripture, and I think you know what I'm doing tonight. I want to get our hearts ready as we enter into just a week from tomorrow, Vacation Bible School here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. So what does Jesus think about children? Well, let's just look at this and let's understand something and learn some things from the example of Christ. First of all, let me point out this. Jesus never forgot what it was like to be a child. He never forgot what it was like to be a child. Remember, Jesus was a child. Matthew 1:18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew 2:8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. Matthew 2:9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Matthew 2:11, when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Matthew 2:13, and when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Matthew 2:14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Matthew 2:20, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother. 2:21, and he arose and took the young child and his mother. Luke 2:40, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Why'd you read all those verses? Watch this. Jesus chose to come to this earth as a child. He could have come down upon a glory cloud in full-blown adulthood. He could have arrived as a 40-year-old walking out of the desert straight into his earthly ministry. But no, he spent his, what we call the silent years, doing something very important. Listen, he spent those years being touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know what? A little child can pray to Jesus, and Jesus can hear a little child's prayer. And you know what? If you could hear him, you know what he'd say? I was once a little child. I was once a little child. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest that cannot be, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Praise the Lord for these last three words. Yet without sin. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Jesus was an infant. Jesus was swaddled. Jesus learned to walk. Jesus was 1 year old, then two, then three, then four. He experienced adolescence, then young manhood. He turned 11 and 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. One of the greatest secrets, let me give you this. One of the greatest secrets of a great children's worker is this. The ability to remember what it was like to be a child. To be a child. Maturity requires us to put away childish things. And by the way, that's right. But maturity should never put away childhood memories. How about that? Maturity should never lose the compassion and empathy needed to properly minister to children. Hey, adults, listen, this week as we prepare for next week, spend some time remembering. Remembering. Remember that growing up wasn't always easy. Remember that if you were to walk in a church this size with the massive people that'll come and you've never been here before, remember that you would feel a little fear and a little bit of confusion. And by the way, don't be so worried about all of the stuff that doesn't matter and focus in on the things that do matter. And you know what matters? Looking around and picking out those kids and finding that one and saying, hey, can I help you? What grade are you in? Can I get you to your class? Don't sit around waiting for it to be somebody else's job. Care about these young people. Talk to them. Get to know them a little bit. Invest in them. Jesus was a great children's worker because he never forgot what it was like to be a child. Number two, Christ elevated children as, here's the title he gave them, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 1 and 2, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, what a question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I can't help but wonder what their motivation was to ask such a question. I will know this, more than once he caught them bickering amongst themselves about who was greatest, the greatest disciple of the bunch. So, you know what, I'm not sure that whoever asked that question was hoping that Jesus would look at him with a great big smile and say, I have a throne reserved on my right hand just for you. Now, I'll be on the right hand of the Father, but you'll be on the right hand of me because you are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Well, Jesus is about to humble them a little bit and teach them a lesson. So in verse number 2, Jesus called a little child unto them and set them in the midst and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. So here's the answer to the question. See that little child? Hey, come here. Could I have you? Come here just a minute. Come here. I want you to sit right here. That's the answer. That's the answer. By the way, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that's the answer. Senior saints, sorry. You're not greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Sorry. Sorry. I know, but it should be about us because we're sorry. He didn't call an old person. Now you're important, but you're not greatest in the kingdom of heaven. How about adults? Come on, adults. Seems like everybody wants to be the greatest. By the way, I think the guy that used to brag about being the greatest and then became a Muslim and won a lot of fights and made a bunch of money, I think right now he's finally figured out who the greatest really is. Amen. How about that? Greatest in the kingdom of heaven is children. Children. That's the lesson here. Can you deny it? You want to rewrite it? You want to figure out somehow you can get yourself in the front of the line there? No. Top priority. Top priority at Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to be on children and children's ministry. Now, a lot of churches and a lot of ministries, a lot of people claim that children are the most important. But you know what I always say at this point? I say this, follow the money. Follow the money. A lot of churches want to say, oh yeah, the next generation. Talk a lot about the next generation. How much are they invested in the next generation? I mean, come on, are they willing to make the sacrifices, not only financially, but in the manpower that's required to have a bus ministry, not a token bus ministry. A lot of churches have what I call a token bus ministry. They want to be able to say that they haven't given up on the bus ministry, so they keep one little bus about half running. And they want to talk about how they're in the bus ministry. Well, let me tell you something. I think if Jesus organized a church today, I think he'd be running a whole bunch of buses. You know why? Because he'd want to pick up those that are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's why. Now, parents, let's not forget this even in our own household. If you're going to adopt a Christian view, a Christ-like view of children, then you need to understand that your children need to be one of your greatest priorities. Dad, your hobby should not be more important than your children. Mom, your TV show or your Facebook should not trump your children. One of the greatest pieces of advice I can give you is this: do not let serving the Lord separate you from your children. Okay, don't leave your children behind while you serve the Lord. Include your children as much as you possibly can. And I know that the older they get, the more involved they can be. And I get that there's going to be some things you have to do. But I'm going to tell you, I love it when I see families serving together. You know who takes care of the nursing homes at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Families take care of it. You know who runs the bus routes at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Families take them on as projects. I love that. I love the fact that we have young people that are growing up in the bus ministry, growing up witnessing and singing and playing instruments in nursing homes. I remember some verse that says something about that being pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father. How about that? The fatherless and the widows. Let's take those two ministries and get our young people involved in them. Some people have used their, listen to me, be very careful about this. I'm going to warn you. I'm going to sound the trumpet. I've watched families use their children as an excuse not to serve the Lord. I'd be fearful to do that. I'd be fearful to do that. As if being a good father or mother makes you choose between serving in your local church or being successful in your home. I don't know who started that line of thinking, but I think you can do both. Listen, folks, don't use your children as an excuse not to serve the Lord, or God might take your excuse away. Well, I would go with fear and trembling there. So get them busy. I think moms, dads, take some of your children out soul winning with you. I think it's great. Then you hear the missionary today when he gave his testimony during Sunday school, and he talked about one of the greatest memories he had growing up in a preacher's home was the fact that his dad took him with him when he would make hospital visits, took him with him out on visitation, bought him ice cream afterwards. Amen, children. Bought him ice cream afterwards. Amen. That's an important Bible principle. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to their children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And you know what, folks? This whole idea about generational divide and the generation gap, that's created by the devil himself. And you know what? He wants to cause a disconnect in the family between the children and the parents and the parents and the children. That's not of God. God says, fathers, turn your hearts to your kids. By the way, kids, listen, turn your heart to your fathers. And you know what? If you'll do that, I know some hearts of fathers that are turned towards their children. Some of you are holding your heart back from turning back your heart to your dad. You need to get that fixed in your life. But I also know some instances where I see a young person whose heart is yearning to be close to a father and a father who won't turn his heart to his children. Let's let the Holy Spirit deal with us. This is too important. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Number three, Christ believed that children could and should be converted. Well, I want to say this. I want to say it often. Verse 3 and 4, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want to make sure that we understand. I make a public proclamation. Children can and should be won to Jesus Christ on a regular basis here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And if they are not, we're not doing our job. I don't know who's got this new thinking out there that decided that children can't be saved. Or they have to get to an age of 12, 13, and 14 before they can be saved. Or they have to become adult-like in order to be saved. Jesus that day looked at a bunch of adults and told them, you need to become like the children if you're going to be saved. He didn't look at children to tell them to become like adults. In what way should we have to become like children? Well, he mentioned in verse number 4 this matter of humility. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. We get up and we get grown up and, you know, pride enters into our life, and you know what? You become a man, you become an adult woman, you've never been saved, and you know what? Too much pride to bend my knee, too much pride to admit that I'm a sinner, too much pride to admit that I'm lost and helpless and hopeless without Christ. Want to do it my way? Well, you know what Jesus said? If you're going to be saved, you need to find that childlike humility and come to Jesus Christ just as you are, realizing you can't do anything to save yourself. Throw yourself at the mercy of God. You know what? You'll find salvation and grace. It was D.L. Moody one day that went out soul winning. They asked him, Brother Moody, did you see anyone saved today? He said, yeah, I saw 1.5 saved today. What an odd answer. The man said, well, did you see an adult and a child? He said, no, I saw a child and an adult. He said, the one was the child because you know what? I saw them saved and they got a whole lifetime they can give to God. When I went into adult to Christ, they sometimes only have half a life to give to God. How about that? So you know what's so neat about being involved in children's ministries and seeing young people saved is that they have an opportunity to give their whole life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So children do not have to become adult-like to be saved. Adults have to become childlike to be saved. Now what's going to happen a week from Monday, preacher? What's this week about Vacation Bible School? Folks, listen, the whole priority, the whole purpose, the main event, the main focus is let's get lost kids in here so we can share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen amazing things happen in Vacation Bible School through the years. We've seen amazing numbers of children saved. I remember one year, and by the way, I had it back in my notes, so this isn't by memory, this is written down. I remember one year, it was an unusual year. I'll just tell you, it was an unusual year. And the Lord just got his hand on it, and people worked hard, and we got a lot of kids that had never been in church or weren't going to a gospel preaching church. You know what's great about VBS? Let me say it out loud. We get a lot of times kids that aren't church attenders, but go to a church where they don't hear the gospel. And if we can get them on the bus for a week, usually by the end of the week, they, you know what they do? They get saved. Now, we may never get them back here. You know what? Their mom and dad may insist they keep going where they were going, but you know what? Their name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How about that? Top priority. Let's get the young people here. Let's get them saved. One year, we had 72 young people receive Jesus Christ in 5 days of Vacation Bible School. That was a crazy year. I'd say on average, by the way, I don't ever want to predict, but you know, most years I would say somewhere between 30 and 40 young people come and get saved. Folks, listen to me. You say, preacher, is that a big deal? They'll never have to go to hell. No matter what happens after that, no matter what happens when they get home, no matter what direction of their life takes, they are saved. Okay, if the rapture happens, they're out of here. Okay, I believe when you see a child saved in this day and age, I believe not only is their soul saved from hell, I believe you have just rescued them from having to go through the 7 years of tribulation. I think this is a rapture generation. I think Jesus Christ is at the door. I think he's turning the doorknob. I think we're real close to this thing. How about that? You know what, folks? It is a big deal. They now have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know, I was mentioning Brother Jesse McCammon, and you know what, folks? He got saved at VBS, but you know what? His life took off in a different direction. And you know what? It was years before God allowed him to find his way back here to Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And you know what? I want to answer all the naysayers that want to say later on, well, did those kids really get saved? And what about this? You know, we're going to get to eternity and let the Lord hash all that out. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to be surprised how many of them end up coming full circle. And maybe not in this church, but end up later on in some good Bible preaching church serving the Lord. They never have to face the tribulation period. They have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. An order for the construction of a mansion is ordered in heaven. What does it mean? It means there's a lot of celebrating in heaven. When they come to Christ, angels rejoice. Christ triumphed. The devil lost out. How about that? It means these young people now have a chance to live out a Christian life. Who knows? Who knows what they might accomplish for the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me look up here and let's make it real to you. 49 years ago, a 5-year-old boy walked the aisle of the Rock Run Baptist Church. I said a 5-year-old boy walked the aisle of the Rock Run Baptist Church in Brazil, Indiana. Guess what? He accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Guess what? He's your pastor. I think children's ministries work. I think they're a pretty big deal. Let me give you the last thing. Number 4, Christ views every kindness towards a child as a kindness shown to him personally, himself personally. Look at verse 5. Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth who? Receiveth me. Oh, this is fun. This is fun. You puddle jumpers, you know who you are? Okay, bus ministry people know what a puddle jumper is. Brother John, is a puddle jumper important on a bus route? Oh, yeah, we need the puddle jumpers. That's the young, energetic guys that ride the bus, and they're not smart enough to drive a bus. Matter of fact, that would be a scary thing. You don't really want to give them anything sharp or anything that explodes because they'll either cut themselves or blow someone up. You don't want to honestly put them on a lawn tractor very often. Because they'll run it down a hill into a ditch. But let me tell you what they can do. When that door opens and a bus captain says, go get that kid at that house, they'll jump every puddle between here and there, slide through the mud, go up to the door, knock, and they'll, by the way, you know who they're going to get? They're going to get Jesus. They're going to get Jesus. Hey, bus driver, when you're driving, and you know what? I know it's a sacrifice. I know it's, I've driven church buses, did it for years. I know it's a sacrifice. When you look back in that mirror, you know who you see? Bunch of Jesus, a little Jesus. Every kindness that you show to a child, Jesus writes it down on your account and gives you a reward as if you showed that kindness to him. Hey, they are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Hey, teachers, you know what? Do everything you can to make these kids feel special. You know why? Because they are special. Let's do everything we can to make them feel important. You know why? They are important. I mean, it don't get any bigger than this. And so all week long, you know what we're going to get a chance to do? We're going to get a chance to invest in children. And when we do so, Christ will put that on our account as a personal kindness shown to him. Well, preacher, the only job I have to do is go out there in the refreshments and I'm baking some cookies, or maybe I'm cleaning up afterwards, or I'm pushing a broom, or I'm assembling some of these snack sacks that we're going to have, or maybe I'm just a teacher or a helper or a nursery worker, or maybe I'm one of these boys that are on the platform, and you know what, every time we have VBS, a couple of them get rebaptized, and you'll understand when you come and see it. And I'm just, preacher, it ain't that much. It's not that much. Yes, it is. If you put a smile on a child's face, then you put a smile on the Savior's face. And I just think kids are it. I think that's it. Mom was talking to me this week about getting ready for vacation Bible school, and she got all teary-eyed, and she looked at me. She said, your dad loved VBS. And you know what made Pastor Robert Ross who he was? My mom told me this one day. He said, Jerry, when I was a young teen and struggling to try to understand my dad, she said, Jerry, you have to understand that part of your dad is the last of 9 children living down a little lane in Fillmore, Indiana, barefoot, patched overalls. And every time he sees a bus kid, he sees himself. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Hey, that'll keep you right. That'll keep your heart right. How about that? Everybody that pitches in, folks, everybody that pitches in, God takes notice. Serving children should not be viewed as punishment. I don't understand people that, you know, well, I need you to go help in this children's ministry. And they roll their eyes and looked as if, my goodness sakes, couldn't you find me some platform spotlight position? By the way, if you're not willing to humble yourself and help in a servant's area, I don't care if you're ever on the platform. Let me say that again. I don't care if you're ever on the platform. We don't need a bunch of big shots here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We need people that are willing to take care of some little shots around here. Just love some kids. I've heard people say, adults say, well, I just don't like children. Listen, I'm not mad at you, but I want to say something to you. You've got a problem. You've got a problem. Because in that area of your life, you're nowhere like Jesus Christ. You are not Christ-like in that. Because I'm going to tell you, you know what? There were some kids trying to get to Jesus, some moms that wanted to bring their kids to Jesus, and he was teaching, and the disciples were saying, hey, he's busy, and man, he got mad. You know what he did? He told his disciples, rebuked his disciples, brought those children, set them on his knee, and carried them around, played with them. And can't you see Jesus doing that? How about that? How about that? You know what? If somebody says this, by the way, teenagers, be careful, because every teenager kind of gets through this where children become real annoying. I get it. I remember that time. But don't ever say, I hate children. You have no, listen, congratulations. Let me say this, so does the devil. I guess you and him have the same mindset on that. I mean it. I know they'll try your patience a little bit, but you know what? Hey, you know what? You need to love them like Jesus loved them. What a wicked thing to say. Don't ever say that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the goal as we prepare for Vacation Bible School. That's the goal this week as we go in prayer and do our morning devotions. Lord, give me a heart. Give me a love. Give me the right mindset. Help me to show up Vacation Bible School. Lord, understanding that we get a chance to minister to the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. How about that? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you'd help our church as we go through the preparation process, Lord. And there's a lot of things, very practical things that need to be done. Be with Brother Gordon. I know that there's a huge amount of this preparation that's on his shoulders. And Give him wisdom and help and strength, Lord, as he works hard this week in preparation with all the other things he's trying to accomplish. And then, Lord, every individual that signed up, Lord, they have responsibilities. They got a job. Some of them are going to have to go out and get some things. We're all working together. Thank you for those that have taken off work. Thank you for those, Lord, that are sacrificing, rushing home from work, jumping right into the seat of a bus. Thank you, Lord, for so many that will give so much. And Lord, we do it. We do it because we love you, and we do it because we know that you love children. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Lord, help us to be like you. We pray these things in your precious name.